Okay, we are going to ask Pastor Sebastian to read the scripture. Last week, if you remember, we studied about the young rich ruler. There are at least three people very rich, and their story is given in the Bible. In Book of Luke, chapter 16, starting from verse 19 to 31. So please read this whole thing from 19 to 31, and then we'll come back and start studying verse by verse.
There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Okay, now you got the story. And you heard this story many times in a Sunday school, or you might have read it many times. We are going to go verse by verse and study this story. Now, this story is recorded only in the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, and John doesn't record this story. And I was thinking, this is an important story. Why other gospels did not record it? Now, this story is very complicated, and maybe other disciples, they were not having that much courage to write this story, because the story is about the rich man. Even though Luke doesn't write the rich man's name, because when you're writing somebody's name and telling his story, and if that man was still alive, or even though he was dead, his relatives will not like it, the story given about their relative. They might be a little bit afraid to write this story. But the Luke is a medical doctor, and he is writing this book to Theophilus, who is the governor. Now, you cannot write the false story to governor. You have to write everything truth. If this story was not a real story, then this governor will tell Luke, why do you write this thing? In my kingdom, there was not such a person like this. So this story has to be true. Not only that, this story is given by Jesus Christ. So the Jesus Christ is not going to lie, because it's not only story, but it's given about where this, after the death, where these both people went. So it has to be true story. When we reading this story, we have to understand certain things. Now in this King James, if you read the verse 20, it says there was a certain beggar. named Lazarus. But I don't believe that Lazarus was a beggar. Why? There are several reasons. Lazarus is not an ordinary man. He is a godly man. He is a Jewish man. And Jewish man will never beg for bread. According to the Jewish law, Jewish people will not allow their brethren to beg for food. They're supposed to give them money, start a business or something like that. They will never make Jewish man to beg. Because even though some Jewish man working for somebody, in a time of Jubilee, they have to let him go. Because in a Jewish religion, nobody can keep somebody slave. After 50 years of Jubilee, they have to let them go. So now let's see this rich man's story. The 19th verse said, there was a certain rich man, his name is not given. And then he said, which was clothed in purple and fine linen. Now this man was wearing very costly, beautiful clothes. And then he says he was living very luxurious or lavishly life every day. That means he was having party every day. So when you are having party, you have lots of food. And sometimes people, when they cook for the guest, they do not cook a little food. They cook a lot. And as you know, some rich people's party or wedding or something happens, people will be fed and there will be enough food remaining so they can give it to the orphanage or give it to the poor people. Now, this rich man is having party every day and he is living in very luxurious life. Now I was thinking, why they saying this Lazarus beggar was laid at his gate? Verse 20 says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate. Now I was thinking, if you are a very rich millionaire or billionaire, and some beggar or some poor person lying at your gate, and all the dignitary and all the big, big rich people are coming to your house, they are going to question you. Why this beggar lying at your gate? And not only he is lying there, but he is having full of sores, boils, maybe stinking, maybe smelling. Why do you allow this beggar or this poor man at your gate? And he had the power to tell this Lazarus to get out of my gate, go somewhere else, never show your face here. Why he's not telling this Lazarus to get out of this place? I believe that Lazarus was working with this man in his house. And maybe he worked there for a long time. At that time, this rich man may be a young teenager or what. So the rich man knows Lazarus. His brothers, they know Lazarus. And his mother and father, they know Lazarus. Because he's a Jewish man. And not only that, he is a religious man. He is a godly man. Maybe Lazarus was telling this rich man about godly things and his brothers about godly things, but they did not want to hear because they were busy with their luxury and their business. But I think when the Lazarus got old or got sick, So the man, rich man, might have told him, Lazarus, you cannot work anymore. You have to go somewhere. But the Lazarus doesn't have any brother, sister, wife, or children. He might be saying, where am I going to go? I have no way to go. And now I worked here for a lifetime. You are not giving me any retirement pay or anything. And you are telling me to go somewhere. I'm not going to go because I am also a Jewish man. You have to do me a favor. Let me stay at your gate. And I have a desire. Let's read the verse 21.
And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
This Lazarus, desiring to be fed with the crumbs, fell from the rich man's table. So now here we see Lazarus is desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Now, if you are poor and if you have a table set, you might have very little crumbs falling from your table. You remember that lady said to Jesus Christ, your dog also can eat the crumbs from the table. So give me the crumb. I'm not asking the bread. So the Lazarus is saying, give me the crumbs from your table. Now you can see Lazarus has some authority. Maybe he worked as a cook. Maybe he trained other people to be cooking. And he got addicted to rich man's food. He says, I have desire to be fed from the tables of this rich man. Now, rich man's table, there won't be any crumbs, but there will be a lot of food because they have party going on every day. He says he was living luxuriously every day. So when you have a party every day, will be a lot of food remaining. So now his servants, other servants, might be giving food to Lazarus, and he might be getting the rich man's food. Lazarus doesn't have to go and beg anywhere for food, so he doesn't have to be a beggar. He's a poor man, desiring to something to get from the king's table. So they made a deal, maybe. Don't worry, we will give you the food and you can have your tent in front of the gate somewhere and we will bring the food every day. Maybe morning breakfast and the lunch and the dinner and everything. You don't have to worry. Whatever your desire is, I'll give it to you. The word of God says, delight in the Lord and he will give the desires of your heart. Now many people have many desires, but this Lazarus, poor man, he doesn't have any desire to have any richness or money or other things. He said, I just want the food. I used to eat the king's food. I used to eat this rich man's food. And that's what I want. And he got the food. So he was eating the rich man's food every day. He didn't have to go anywhere begging for food. Because rich man's food, they will have enough, more than enough. Even the regular people, when they cook more than they can eat. So now he is having food, and he doesn't have to go anywhere, and nobody can tell him to get out of the in front of his palace. So he is comfortably sitting there, but at the same time, he has the full of sores, means all kinds of boils. Now, you have to think, if the Lazarus was given the permission to stay in front of his gate and given permission to give him food, but one thing this rich man didn't do, he didn't say, Lazarus, you worked in my house so many days, You are a Jewish man. You should not be poor. You should not be begging for bread. I'm going to give you some help. Or I'm going to take you to the hospital. I'm going to treat you very well because you are a good man. You are a righteous man. You are a godly man. I'm going to take care of you. But this rich man was so busy with his business and he did not take care of Lazarus. But here he says, dog came and licked his sores, or the licked his wounds. Where this dog came from? I believe maybe these are the street dogs, and they are also looking for some food in this place. And Lazarus getting a lot of food. So Lazarus might be sharing his food to this dog. So when you have a dog and you feed them, even though they are fed and they have nothing lacking, and they love you and they will lick you and they will kiss you. That's what these dogs were doing. He was feeding them, and those dogs, because of his food, delicious food, these dog ways, even though they are fed, they will be lovingly licking these Lazarus wounds. And he was comforted that way. But nobody, rich man's servants or his brothers or his mother or father, nobody cared about this Lazarus. Now we do not know how long this Lazarus was lying there. It was lying there for a couple of hours, couple of days, because there will be rain, there will be sunshine. So he has to have some place. He cannot be lying in an open field. So he might be having some kind of shed. But at the same time, the Bible says, your trouble will be for 10 days. 10 days means actually can be 10 days or maybe short period of time. We know the story about the Job story. Now the Job was suffering just like Lazarus. But the Job was suffering and we do not know how long he was suffering. Once you are suffering, you think day looks like a year. And it's a long, long time. But God says, you're not going to suffer a long. Your suffering will be a short period of time. So I believe this Lazarus was not suffering there for a long time. Lazarus might be suffering for a short time. Because verse 22 says, it came to pass that the beggar died. They should be saying the Lazarus died. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now here is saying the Lazarus died. When the Lazarus died and he is lying down in front of the rich man's gate. And if you keep the dead body there more than 2 or 3 days, it's going to have a lot of smell. So I believe as soon as the Lazarus died, they did not give him a burial. They might be drag his body and put it somewhere or burn it or whatever they did. It's not in recorded. Because there was in Jerusalem, out of the gate, there was some kind of place called Gehenna. They were burning all the trash and all the dirt and people were throwing something there. So we don't know his body was thrown there to burn or what. We have no idea. Jewish people, they never burn. But this Jewish Lazarus did not get the burial. Now, the word of God says, as soon as the Lazarus died, God sent the angels, not angel, angels. And they carried him into Abraham's bosom. Now somebody will say, his body was here. Did they carry him, hold his body to the Abraham's place? No. The Abraham was not in heaven at that particular time, but he was in a very secure place. There is no torment, there is no hunger, there is no thirst, and he was in a very comfortable place. So the angels came and took the soul and the spirit of Lazarus. And as soon as they took him, and when he was sitting beside the Abraham, maybe he had beautiful clothes, beautiful white gown might be given. And then the same verse he says, Luke chapter 16, verse 22, he says, the rich man died. Now here the Lazarus died, and I don't know how much time went in between. The same day, if the rich man died, and he says, they gave him the good burial. Now, as you know, if the rich man dies, he will have thousands and thousands of people coming for the burial. And many people will be standing and saying very good about this man. Some movie star dies or some rich man dies, even though he was a crooked and bad person, they will never say bad things about the person on the burial ground. They will always say good things about the man. So I think so many people might gather and say so many good things about this rich man. And nobody cared about this Lazarus. If they died the same day, I don't know how he died, what was his sickness or disease, but I think he might have got a heart attack, thinking that he did not take care of the Lazarus. Whatever happened, the rich man died and they buried him. Please read the verse 23.
And in hell he lifts up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom.
Now see what happens here? When this rich man died, people are giving him burial. People are saying good things about him. When you die, you close your eyes here, open your eyes in heaven or hell. Now when Lazarus died, the angels took him. He was sitting at the Abraham's bosom or next to Abraham. The rich man died and directly he went to hell. Not only there in hell, he was suffering. And when he was suffering, he was thirsty. He was burning in the flame, but the same time he lifted his eyes, and for his surprise, he saw Lazarus. How did he recognize? Lazarus was having a lot of sores, and he was lying in his front yard, and I don't know how many years or how many months he never saw Lazarus' face, but now all of a sudden, he lifts up his eyes and he sees Abraham and beside him the Lazarus. I don't know how he recognized Abraham, but I believe he could recognize Lazarus very well. Because when the Lazarus was a young man in his house, he might have seen him. Because when you go to heaven, this place was not even heaven, but when you go to heaven, you won't be like a sick man. You won't be lame or blind. You won't be living in a raggedy clothes or very poor fashion. As soon as you die as a Christian, born-again person, you go to heaven, you got the spiritual body, and you look like a very young person, maybe in your 30s or so. So now this rich man is looking at Lazarus when he was young. He didn't have any sores and he was not sick. And that's the kind of body he is seeing. So he recognized Lazarus. But now he cannot tell Lazarus, hey, Lazarus, you remember you are working in my house and you are eating our rich food and had all kinds of good drink and everything. Why don't you come and give me a glass of water? Because Lazarus was not his servant anymore. So he cannot demand Lazarus to come and help him. So he is asking Abraham. Now he is asking Abraham, let's see what he's saying. Verse 24.
And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
He cried with a loud voice, and he looking at Abraham and saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Now you have to see, these both people died. One went to Abraham's bosom, one went to hell. This rich man who died, now he has eyes, he has tongue, he can hear, and his body can feel the pain, and Lazarus also can see, and he is comforted, no sorrow, no pain, no hunger, no thirst. Now this man is praying to Abraham, have mercy on me. But see what happens? Once you are in hell, your prayer doesn't answer. Whatever you're going to pray from that place, that prayer will be never answered. Now, here we see this man is crying to Abraham and saying, have mercy on me. But he is not repenting of his sin. He doesn't say, oh, Abraham, I committed so much sin. I had party every day. I did not take care of Lazarus. And I'm a sinner. I'm confessing my sin. Could you ask God to forgive my sin? No, he did not ask that. He is still asking something for his selfish desire. His body is tormented and he wants some kind of comfort. From that you know, when you go to hell, there is no way out. Many people have written some books. They went to hell and they came out of hell. Actually, when you go to real hell, there is no way out. Then how these people are saying we went to hell and we came out? That is just their thought. Their body was still on the earth. Their body was never went to hell. They were on earth and they got a dream or they got a vision and they were tormented in their mind and they were thinking they were in hell. You can have a dream and you can feel the real thing happening. When you open your eyes, then you know that was just a dream. So nobody can go to hell or heaven and come back to earth. Only people who, when they died and Jesus raised them and they died again. Or you can pray for somebody and who is dead, they can be raised to life again. But once they go to heaven permanently, they cannot come back. Only they will come back when Jesus Christ comes and he will bring them back, their souls, and then their body will get joined together. But until then, they have to be there in heaven or in hell. Now look at this rich man's life. He got all the luxury, all the comfort, all good kinds of drinks. Everything was going dandy. But all of a sudden he died, and now he's asking Abraham. I don't know how he came to know Abraham. Maybe Abraham and Lazarus, they were talking, and maybe Lazarus said, Father Abraham, thank you very much giving me chance to sit beside you or whatever. So he recognized this is Abraham, but he had no problem recognizing Lazarus. Now he says he cried and he said to Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I heard some people are preaching and they're saying if you are a child of God, you adopted in the family of God, and if you commit any sin, you will never go to hell again. Because once you are son, you always be son. Look at this man. He is calling Abraham father. But where is he? He is in hell. And Abraham calling him son. But Abraham was not able to take him from this hell and bring it to him where he was. So let's read 25.
But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.
Here Abraham is saying, Son, even though he is calling him son, but he cannot help him. So we have the news for the people who are saying they were saved and they became backslidden, but they will always remember son. I can tell them, you can be a son, but you can be in the hell and still call a son. That doesn't change. Once you commit sin and you go to hell, you will be never come out of that hell anytime. This Abraham calls him son and he says, remember. That means even though in hell, you will have a memory. You will remember what you did in your lifetime. How did you treat the Lazarus? How you live in luxury? Lazarus was a Jewish man. You should not be taking advantage of Lazarus as a brother. As a Jewish brother, you would not be allowing him to be lying down in front of your gate and giving him crumbs. As a Jewish man, you should be helping your brother. And now you're calling me, Father, you had all kinds of luxury. Remember that. Not only one day, he says, lifetime. Mother and father, they were rich. And you did not have any financial problem. They took care of you. And whole lifetime, you received all good things. But the likewise, Lazarus, evil things. Some Bible says bad things. But here he says evil things. Who did evil things to him? Maybe this rich man, maybe his brothers, maybe other people did evil to him. Maybe he did good to many people, but he got result evil things. But now he said, whatever happened. But now he is comforted. Means now Lazarus doesn't have to worry about crumbs. He doesn't have to worry about water. He doesn't have to worry about the snow or rain or heat or sunshine. He doesn't have to worry about the way to go when he wants to go to take a shower or whatever. He was lying there and nobody cared. But he said, now you are tormented. Now the life, it changed. But this rich man could not demand, Lazarus, you come and help me. He's begging to Abraham. But Abraham gave him answer, your prayer will not be answered. We cannot come and help you. Whatever luxury you had, now you have to be tormented. This is what's going to happen. This story is given to us to think about our life. When we're living in this world, we have food to eat and clothes to wear and every luxury we have. We do not care about anybody. Your brother is poor, or your relatives need something, or your neighbor needs something. We do not care. And these rich people, Jewish people, they had a tradition. If somebody is poor, that means maybe God made him poor, and God wants him to suffer. Some other religion also, they're thinking the same thing. And some God give you richness, then you are maybe a good person. That's why you are rich. And somebody became a poor, that means he might be sinful person. That's what people are thinking. But here, Lazarus made a couple of mistakes. It's not written here, but that's not a sin. He only desired to get food from this table. He didn't say, Lord, I'm a Jewish man. According to your word, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, you should be giving me power to make wealth. And this is the covenant you made with the Israeli people. Why should I suffer like this? I don't want to suffer like this. And your word said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. You heal all the children of Israel when they came from Egypt. Not a single man was lame or sick or any infirmity. You healed them all. And you gave them the silver and gold and riches of Egypt. Why am I suffering like this? I am going to trust in you. So you can touch me and heal me. But some people do not understand God's power. They said, oh, little, I can eat the crumbs of this man's table and I'll be satisfied. There are some Christian people today, they say, oh, Lord, if I go to heaven, keep me as a doorkeeper and I will be satisfied. King David prayed like that, so I can pray like that. Keep me as a doorkeeper. Is that the will of God? No. Jesus Christ came from heaven, died on the cross of Calvary. He gave us eternal life. And he said, if you follow me, you will have treasures in heaven. And if you work with me, you will be kings and priests. You don't have to be doorkeeper. You will be sitting beside me. That is the calling he has given to us. And some people say, oh, but John the Baptist says he should increase, I should decrease, and he humbled himself. So why cannot we pray the same prayer? God did not want us, or he doesn't want us to be beggars. God doesn't want us to be poor. God doesn't want us to be sitting under his feet. God wants us to be sitting beside him as a king and priest. That's God's will. This man said, give me the crumbs. He was not asking for crumbs. He knew that rich man's food is not a crumbs. They will give you enough food. And he was demanding, desiring that kind of thing. He would have desired, Lord, I want to be healed. And if he was very old, he could say, Lord, I lived a life. I have no brothers, no sisters, no mother, nobody to take care of me. Just take me home. I want to go home. Or heal me so I can glorify your name, go to temple or testify or something. But some people do not want to do God's work. When the sickness and disease comes, say, Lord, take me home. I am not worthy. I don't want to live in this world. You ask St. Paul. St. Paul said, You know, dying is easy, dying is good. It's a very good place to go to heaven. But I decided to stay here, suffer more, and preach the gospel to you. So in this world we are living, when we have suffering and pain and poverty, we have to say poverty is a curse. Lazarus didn't understand that. We have to believe that we do not want that kind of curse. We do not want to have sickness and disease. Thank God we have better chance than Lazarus. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He took our sickness and disease on the cross, and with his stripes we are healed. But many people do not believe this, and that's why they are suffering. You know what Christian people do? They say, Lord, please, if it is your will, heal me. If it is not your will, that's okay too. God's will is always there to heal you. But you have to say, Lord, you died for me. You took my sickness and disease on the cross. And so your word says, with your stripes, I'm healed. That I'm healed. I receive my healing. And you will be healed. Some people said, oh, I prayed and I asked God to heal me. Maybe someday he will heal me. What day? Someday will never come. You have to receive it today. Tomorrow is not for us. Once you believe it, you will receive it instantly. You see, some people are praying and they see such and such a people are getting healed right now, and your pain is going away. And that person say, oh, that's me. And instantly that person gets healed. How it happens? You have to believe it. He did it 2,000 years ago. You have to receive it by faith. Not somebody prays for you and say, oh, someday I'm going to heal. I know someday God is going to hear my prayer. What the book of Mark chapter 11 says, he says, when you pray, you believe, you receive it, and you will have it. Once you prayed, you believe that God heard my prayer and I received my healing, or whatever, not only healing, whatever you're praying for. Once you prayed, you believe it, and now you receive it. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and with his stripes, we are healed. Now, this rich man is praying, but his prayer is not answered. If he was on earth, and if he would have prayed the same prayer, oh Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner, and save my life. God would have heard his prayer. But now it's too late. Let's read the verse 26.
And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence.
If somebody wants to come from here to there, or somebody wants to come from there to here, there is a gulf fixed. Means there is a very deep ditch. Just like a Grand Canyon has a lot of deep things, and people say, oh, I can cross the Grand Canyon, I put the rope and I walk over it, and people try to that. But in heaven, even though you have that kind of rope and you tie and you want to go, you cannot go. It says there is a great gulf fixed, so nobody can pass from this way to that way. And so in this Bible it says, you cannot, you know, you cannot come here. That means you cannot come and we cannot go. But another Bible I was reading, he says, you will not be allowed. You cannot do it because there is somebody protecting that border. You remember the angel came and took Lazarus to Abraham's bosom? So the angels are guarding. Now this man was saying, just tell Lazarus, put his pinky there or some finger and get me the drop of water on my tongue because I am suffering here. Can you imagine? He was saying far away. Now, if somebody puts the finger in a water and bring that water from there to here, how many feet or how many yards or miles, that water is going to evaporate. He cannot bring the just drop of water. But actually what he was saying, just like this Lazarus was saying, give me the crumbs, so he got the food. Same way he said, give me the little bit tip of water and I'll be satisfied. But he was asking, give me a glass of water, quench my thirst. But it was not easy because they are prohibited. They cannot go from here to there and they cannot come from there to here. What does it mean? Just think, somebody's mother or father, they were good people and they died there. And their son is tormented in hell and they can see and they want to go and help. They cannot. Once your son or husband or wife or anybody died and they are in hell, you can see them, but you cannot help them. But that was just the time of Abraham. But when Jesus died, I went to Abraham's place and took Abraham and Lazarus and all other people who were there and took them to paradise. And then he came back to earth. Now Abraham and Lazarus and all other people are not there and the rich man cannot see them anymore. They are already transferred from there to the heaven, paradise. But the rich man is still suffering there. How many years? Maybe now almost 4,000 years. And even though he is there, the time of judgment, I don't know when that will be. He will be taken out from there and judge again and send him to the lake of fire. That rich man's suffering is not going to finish. Right now he is in a temporary hell. Later on, he will be going to permanent hell, called the lake of fire. So this is a good warning for each and everyone. Don't take it so easy. Hey, if I die, maybe someday God will forgive me. Maybe someday God will take me to heaven. It will not work. Your prayer will not be answered. The rich man is still tormented in hell this many years. Now he cannot see Abraham. He cannot see even Lazarus. In front of his eyes, they are all went away. And he is still tormented. So now he says, Abraham, if he cannot come here and cannot give me water, I have another request. Let's read 27.
Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house.
You did not hear my first request. I am tormented. But now I have another request. Send the Lazarus to my father's house. Now why he is sending him to the father's house? Because father is alive, mother is alive, and he has five other brothers. And according to him, if they are living that kind of life, sinful life, they are going to end up in hell. That's what he is thinking. Let's read the verse 28.
For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.
I have a prayer request. Father Abraham, do me a favor. Send the Lazarus to my brothers. And so he can testify. He can tell them, hey, your brother is in hell, but I live a good life, and you people did not take care of me, and I died and nobody gave me burial, but I am sitting in my Abraham's bosom, and Abraham sent me here to warn you. If you do all kinds of things, what you're doing, you will be going to hell like your brother went. That's what he wanted to tell his family. He says, send to my father's house. Means father and mother still alive, but they are religious. They might go to heaven, but he did not have any guarantee about his five brothers. When he was on earth, He had no time to tell his younger brothers to live a godly life because he was not a good model. When we are alive, that's the time your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, that's the time you witness to them if you are born again. Otherwise, it will be too late. This man didn't live a good life, and now he wants to change other people's lives. He said they will be hearing the Lazarus testimony. What he thought, why he didn't say to Abraham, Abraham, why don't you go? Or why don't you send somebody? Why is he telling Lazarus supposed to go? Because they know Lazarus. They have seen Lazarus. They have seen Lazarus a good man. Lazarus did very good things in their house. Maybe he was testifying and telling, hey, if you people start doing this kind of thing, you end up going to hell. Because he was a religious and godly man. The Bible says the religious man and godly man's death is very precious in the sight of God. But Abraham said, no, sir. That prayer request also was denied. Let's read the verse 29.
Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.
The Moses is there. The prophets are there. Now, some people might be thinking they are still alive. In another Bible, it says Moses writing and the prophet's writing is there. They should read and they should study. And then they will be not coming to this place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, when the Moses is read, that means when you're reading the book of Moses, you will be still have veil on your faces. That means you will still like living in the Old Testament rules and regulations. So he says the Moses and the prophets are there. That means their teaching is there. Their books are there. Let them study. And if some preacher are preaching, let them listen to the preacher. And they will be teaching them. And they should be repenting teaching from them. But he said, no. I think that if you send somebody from here, like a Lazarus, then they will hear. Read the verse 30.
And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent.
Now he is thinking, if somebody dies and goes back to earth, the people will hear. People will hear their testament. That's why some people wrote the book, I was dead and now I'm alive. How many people got saved because of that man's testimony? And we have a greater testimony. Jesus Christ died. He rose again, and he showed himself for 40 days to other people. In that particular time, how many people got saved? How many people, those people who killed Jesus Christ, they came to know Jesus is alive? Did they get saved? No. What Abraham is saying, let's read the verse 31.
And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Now he is saying, if they don't understand or don't read the Moses and the teaching of the prophet, they will never listen to anyone, even though they go from here, heaven to back to earth, and tell them that I came to tell you the story, they will not listen. Jesus Christ said to these people, you say about Moses and you say about Abraham. Moses and Abraham believed me. But you don't believe Moses and you don't believe Abraham. So you are not going to believe what I say. When they were talking about me, you should be believing their writings. So the same way Abraham is saying, if you don't listen to Moses, if you don't listen to prophet, even that anyone go from here to earth, from the dead, they will not listen. But the rich man was thinking, oh, sometime if they see the Lazarus and they will be surprised and Lazarus will be giving testimony and things like that. He's saying, no way, nobody will listen. The point I'm making, all his prayers were denied. Once you are dead, and you are in hell, you can cry as many as time you can. For eternity, God is not going to say, enough is enough, you suffer enough, I'm going to take you to heaven. The word of God says, hell is for eternity. And the heaven is for eternity. Lazarus suffered a lot. Maybe he made a couple of mistakes. Did not trust God fully. But he was not committing any sin. That's why he was able to go to heaven. So here is the lesson for us. We have time. We are not dead yet. We can correct our life. We can repent right now and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. I'm not living a right life. I committed a lot of sins. If I die tonight or if I die right now, I will end up dying and going to eternal hellfire like a rich man. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Touch me and heal me. I want to serve you. I commit my life into your loving hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray prayers something like this, God is saying, I'm going to forgive all your sins. I'm going to wash away all your sins. And if you're poor, I'm going to bless you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 is saying, the blessing of the Lord makes someone rich and he doesn't add sorrow to it. If the God's blessing comes on you, God will make you financially, spiritually, and every way rich. And there will be no sorrow. People gain money without God and they get tormented like this rich man. God is not saying that you should be poor. He said, I can bless you. I can give you riches. And you don't have to live sorrowfully on this earth. You can rejoice in this earth. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you have given us this lesson. In this world, if you live very luxuriously, eat good food, eat, drink good drinks, spend a lot of money for our luxury, and never think about God. Never think about our brothers or sisters who are suffering. Lord Jesus, please forgive us. Give us grace to love you and follow you. If our life is not right, give us grace to repent. Lord Jesus, in this world we are living for a short period of time. But the time you have given to us, we want to use it for the glory of God. We commit our bodies, our souls, our spirit into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray and we call Amen. It done. Amen.